copies of the draft meeting minutes have been provided to you all and on the city website. And I want to commend the various chairs who submitted their minutes. I hope you will continue to do so timely. Copies of those are on your desk. Communications, we have a letter from appointing Angela Chandler to serve out the remainder of Andrea Girolamo's term on the Conservation Advisory Council. Do I have an introduction? Rich? Second? A resolution maintaining our depository relationship with the Bank of Greene County. We had set out an RFP. They were the only one to respond. And it's a continuation of what we already have. May I have an introduction in a second? Eileen and Alf. The next resolution is supporting the Conservation Advisory Council's application for assistance under the New York State Department of Economic Conservation Hudson River Estuary Program. This is to help the CAC finish with their open space and natural resource inventory. Do I have an introduction in a second? Tiffany and Dewan. Next is a transfer of funds to increase the hours of the Parking Violations Bureau maintenance man. It's been found that there hasn't been enough hours to do to perform the duties necessary, and increases it by 5 additional hours every week. Do I have an introduction and a second? Rob, Calvin. This is petty cash funds for the Parking Bureau, covering such incidental expenses as stamps, tolls, keys, batteries, reimbursements to the amount of $50. Do I have a introduction in a second? Tiffany and Dewan. The next is a resolution of adopting the New York State Unified Solar Permit. Rich, would you like to explain what this is?
Sure. What this is one of the 10 tasks of the high impact tasks for the clean energy communities. This would be, if this is approved, it would be our third completed task out of the four. What this does, I've spoken to Craig Haig at the Code Enforcement Department about this. It just sets together a standard solar permit process that can be used across the board. The idea being that it would decrease the learning curve as well as just help solar permitting happen quicker and faster. And I said those are one of the, would be our third completed, the fourth completed task.
Do I have an introduction in a second? John? Come on. The next resolution authorizes the mayor to enter into the contract with the HCDPA, or I should say the Hudson Community Development and Planning Agency, for administrative support services in connection with the Dunn Warehouse Project. As you all probably know, we received a grant to restore and support the Dunn Warehouse. This allows HCDPA to manage that grant. Do I have an introduction in a second? Rob? Continue.
I would like to speak.
Sure. To accept a group of donations to the youth department. And you can see all the Rebecca Nelson, Rachel Silverstein, Elizabeth Leckie, Susan Sharp, the Gottlieb Gallery, Sutter Antiques, Our Bookshop, Sassy Lassies, Janet Pulaski, and Hudson City Books for a total of $2,869. Here I have an introduction and a second. Dewan and Calvin. The next is a resolution authorizing the mayor to enter into contract with Complus Innovations for parking ticket management software. This is the same company that we've been working with, and this just extends the existing contract. An introduction in a second. Tiffany and Rob. The next resolution authorizes the mayor to execute a short environmental assessment form, the EAF, in connection with the proposed North Bay Trail Connection Project. This is just a very sort of minor matter because this project has a long way to go, and it just sort of expedites the process so that by picking the mayor as the person who signs the EAF. Do I have an introduction in a second? Kamal and Eileen. And the last resolution, this requests the mayor to remove the currently appointed members of the Board of Commissioners of the Hudson Housing Authority and appoint new commissioners. This has been incorrectly reported as an effort to remove the authority. That is not the case. What is being asked here is to remove the mayor's 5 appointed members of the board. And of course, even if we pass this, it doesn't mean the mayor will do it. Did you want to talk about it, Tiffany?
I do. I sent the council the inspection report that was done at Bliss Towers. So I just would just like to read a little segment to the public. Living conditions at the Hudson Housing Authority Bliss Towers project has deteriorated well beyond livable. HUD is aware of the building's many issues, yet the situation continues to worsen on the agency's watch. On August 11, 2017, HUD's Real Estate Assessment Center conducted a physical inspection of Hudson Housing Authority 5 buildings, including Bliss Towers, which occurred nearly 8 months after HUD had decided to visit, that the site needed a visit. I sent you all the report, and it which shows 23 out of Hudson Housing Authority 135 out of 135 residential units. In the sample size, the Hudson Housing Authority received a 54 out of 100 failing mark grade by 35 health inspections and safety deficiencies. Of 13 are considered life-threatening. It was projected that the entire, if the entire building was inspected, the review would have resulted in 153 health and safety deficiencies. In addition, in death, an inspection contracted by HHA with the inspection group incorporated yielded a 14 out of 100 score, which clearly shows mismanagement has been going on for years. There has been an issue that had also taken place back in Saratoga Housing Authority back in 2014, where their community center has been shut down because of they spotted rain that was trickling in from the roof, making tiles crack, bringing in holes in the ceilings, creating mold. This was just in Saratoga Springs in a community room. In Bliss Towers, this is throughout the building. So it is clearly mismanagement. Funds are needed. And as a council, we need to do everything that we need to do to show the people that we are concerned for their health and their safety and their living conditions. That is what this is about. And I hope you all stand and join with me. This is not personal. The people are suffering. That's what this is about. Thank you.
Thank you. Do I have an introduction and a second? Tiffany and Duan. Still on your desk are proposed laws. Numbers 9 and 1. Yeah, 9 and 1. And we're putting on your desk, if it's as a new proposed law, number 2 for this year. And this is extending an exemption on real property taxes for real property owned by veterans who rendered military service during the Cold War pursuant to the New York Real Property Tax Law Section 458-B. Other communities throughout the county have done this already. We were notified that we were not part of it. It actually probably amounts to very few people in the city. And at this point, can I have an introduction in a second? Eileen and Dominic. Okay, we have someone from, do you want to do, are you, have you been a point person on our guest?
I haven't.
Oh, okay. Somebody from a solar company who's wanted to do a presentation?
You can
pass it on. I'll take one too.
Thank you.
East Light Partners. Ooh.
We're short a few copies, so we'll pass to the spaces between the chairs. Hopefully, foster some camaraderie on the council.
Sure.
I'm Jamie Fordyce. This is Wendy DeWolf. We're the principals of East Light Partners. We're a renewable energy company based in Boston and New York. We're coming before you today because we're developing a solar project, a 7-megawatt solar project. In the town of Greenport, just over the border on Vapor Trail, adjacent to the correctional facility there and the Flanders Industrial Complex. We wanted to come with a little bit of background on New York State programs with respect to renewable energy and how they've changed, and where this project fits in, and a little bit about our company. So, flipping through, this presentation can serve largely for takeaway material, but it will orient us to the project. We are a solar development team. We've developed upwards of 40 megawatts, so about 10 projects of this scale throughout the Northeast, largely in Massachusetts, and expanding into New York over the past 5 years.
Can I interrupt for a second? Have you been approved already by Greenport?
No. We've just entered into our site option with the landowner.
Oh, okay.
We will be going before Greenport, for site plan review and special use permit for the project. This presentation is really about educating the town of Hudson as a potential buyer of credits that would be generated from this project. So the way that New York policy is set up and projects of this nature is largely in the context of community solar. So you have a centralized facility where solar is generated, and then the generation from that facility is subscribed up to 40% to a single customer, in which case, you know, if the city of Hudson were of interest and had sufficient electrical demand to take that amount, that city of Hudson would serve as the anchor customer. That's the speech. And then the remainder of the facility would be sold to residences and businesses in a community solar array.
So part of the reason we wanted to come up with so early in the development of the project is because, you know, it's very, which you'll kind of read about us a little more, we tend to work with municipalities, we like to be an integral part of the community, and so we wanted to get, you know, as we embark on the development of this project, which, you know, we think is a great project site and really could be an asset to the community here, we wanted to kind of start the conversation early and see how maybe, you know, the city could benefit directly from the facility itself.
So if you, the first few slides are really just about our company, our backgrounds individually. You can forward to the project site slide where you can see the site denoted on a map here.
There's no page numbers, but the project site is what's on the right. This location, then if you flip the page, you'll see this is a preliminary layout, very high level. Again, we're just starting the process with National Grid. We're just starting the process with permitting it with the town of Freeport. So this is, you know, doesn't have any approvals, but it shows exactly what it, you know, what we could fit on the site. And, you know, given, you know, the zoning policy, the kind of zoning code, we've been incorporating that into the preliminary design.
Typically, we try to find underutilized land. We try to avoid getting raw land to accommodate solar arrays. We've done a number of projects on landfills. In this instance, this is not land that's in agricultural production or raw land, so it's a very nice site for a project of this nature. The New York Community Solar Framework, as I mentioned, the Community Solar Project is an installation whose generation output is shared by a number of different parties. It's a way for folks who do not want to or have the ability to put solar on the rooftops to benefit from low-cost clean energy generation. It's more cost-effective, typically, to centralize the panels in a larger installation. And as I described, up to 40% of the generation can go to a single customer, with the remainder going to individuals.
And this is all part of this new Value Distributed Energy Resources Program, which is a new New York State PSC program that came into effect in November. So it's fairly new. There are a few projects. We're kind of on the early lead of projects in the state. We have our first project. We're probably one of the first in the program going into construction this spring down in East Fishkill. We have a project over in Sarnies as well that's going to be on their town landfill. We're having some other communities as well. And the concept is kind of early stages of this program, taking advantage of the new, you know, the new program coming in and being one of the first projects coming forward.
One of the things to understand in terms of how these credits are created and generated and valued, it's not like net metering. I'm not sure what sort of familiarity the city has with prior proposals, but it used to be under a framework called net metering, where a kilowatt hour generated at the site would be credited to the town's bill as a kilowatt hour reduced. The new program is, as Wendy mentioned, trying to recognize the value of generation at that particular location. And so it's not kilowatt hour per kilowatt hour, it's a dollar per dollar transaction. So the value of electricity output at the site might be greater at the peak hours in the day and not so great at night. So every hour there's a varying price that the solar facility accumulates. accumulates in the form of credits, and then we enter into an agreement with our customers, be they residents or municipalities, that transfers those credits at a discounted rate. So you can imagine if we generate $100 of credit, typically we will sell that $100 utility bill credit to our customer at $95, something in that range, so that the customer is never bearing risk that the price at which they entered into an agreement is less than the cost of the generation. We're bearing that risk, and you float with us, always generating 5% savings on your electricity.
Right. The concept being that this new value stack, as it's called, it has three components mainly to it: the energy, which changes on an hourly basis, the capacity, which is, and then the environmental factor. And so we're kind of bearing the risk for what the total cost is, but for every dollar we generate onto the GRRR value, we get paid by the utility, gets monetized on your bill as a utility credit, which basically is a negative, you know, dollar on your bill, and you only pay us 95 cents on the dollar, basically, for every credit that you get. Now, it's not as, we understand it's not like, you know, a huge discount. We're not talking about a 50% discount on power. Unfortunately, the new program in New York doesn't, because it's not with retail rates and net metering, it doesn't provide that same kind of wiggle room for greater discount value. But it does, in this arrangement, you'll always be saving money, and you're able to actually, because it's a monetary credit, not a kilowatt hour credit, you're actually able to discount, or you're able to apply the credits to a larger portion of the bill because it's supply and delivery as opposed to just doing it for supply. So there's some benefits of it, but you know, basically you're, and you're support, be able to support local renewable energy.
So what we would propose is entering into a so-called utility credit purchase agreement, which over a period of, that's coincident with the useful life of the project, or at least 25 years, we would be locking in for a certain amount of supply, a fixed savings amount for the time. On the last page, we sort of run through some basic numbers, but, you know, we expect that we generate approximately 3.5 million credits per year, worth approximately $275,000. For every $1 of utility credit to the city's account, the city would pay the project 95 cents. So you're locking in 5% in a monetary credit, and typically we try to set a floor price of 6 cents. It's important for our financing. So it's a way that Hudson could reduce its electricity costs, kind of a no-risk savings from a budgetary perspective, and it's a way to support clean renewable energy as it's being boarded throughout the state.
Okay, thank you. This will go before, send all this information to our Economic Development Committee, to the attention of Rich Bolo, who's been analyzing previous contracts.
Okay.
And, you know, so he can really see if how this would work for us or not.
Okay.
I hope you're not looking for us to sign anything before you actually
get the contract. No, the concept, again, we just wanted to get in front of you early.
Okay.
We want to start the conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, this, you know, 95 cents to the dollar is what we can have done in the past with other municipalities. We're happy to talk about a fixed rate. We're happy to talk about, you know, other opportunities or ways to incorporate it. It's just so close. You know, it's right nearby,
mm-hmm.
and it's a great location for it, and so we wanted to make sure we were including
sure.
you guys in the conversation.
Well, thank you. And as I said, the Economic Development Committee will look at it.
Great.
Dad, you want to give your card to them?
Yeah. And we have a full agenda for this coming Thursday's meeting, but what I'll do is we'll put on the agenda for next one.
Great.
And I will look over this material now and come back to your questions, and then maybe next month we could talk a little more in depth.
Great.
A couple other things. Two people were invited tonight who weren't able to attend. One is Nicole Allen from LaBarge, our new grant writers. And I want them to speak to us, to the council, about forthcoming CFA, which is, you know, our opportunity to apply for grants, so that all of you find out, you know, if any of you have grant ideas, she's the person to talk to with what you'd like to develop. And this is very early on in the process, so getting her in is a good thing, and I hope to have her maybe at the 20th in our formal meeting. and you can meet her and talk to her. Secondly, I was hoping to have Maria Suttmeyer here today because we are trying to start the conversation about the future of John L. Edwards School and, you know, what role we can have and what happens with that school. As you know, or maybe don't know, the Hudson School District, despite being called the Hudson School District, isn't controlled solely by Hudson, but we're part of five communities that have a role in the school. So we don't, you know, get to determine through our government what happens to that building, but we certainly can make our desires and hopes known. And I'm hoping to start with Maria and, you know, see what happens from then on. But as was suggested last meeting by Supervisor Mussman, we will definitely make this part of our agenda. Anything else from council members that they'd like to raise? Excuse me.
I did want a request from the city attorney, if you could look into, with the example that I read of Saratoga Springs and what has happened there, because if I'm not mistaken, I believe that the mayor in Saratoga Springs did abolish the board. If you can look into that and see what our mayor can and cannot do and what the council also can and cannot do. Thank you.
Rich.
The one thing I forgot to mention earlier is that the reason I'm pushing this solar permit to get these tasks done is that it then opens up the city for some grants for doing clean energy projects. So it can give the city $30,000 or $80,000. The sooner we get it done, the better, the bigger chunk of money that's left behind. Whatever community basically gets to the funding first gets more money. So the sooner we pass these things, the sooner we get that more money is available to us to do other our own solar projects here in the city.
You said this is the third task, right?
This would be the third, yes.
What's the fourth, and how soon will we get
And the
that?
Fourth is in progress, and hopefully maybe next one, fingers crossed.
Okay, great. Anything else from the council? Yes, Eileen.
Yes, the resolution about removing the people from the Hudson Housing Authority board, I certainly understand your passion about the situation that you described, and you had mentioned it the other day when we spoke about it. At what point in this process, is it tonight, is it next week, have a chance to hear how, I don't even know how long the current members of the board have been on the board. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's okay for situations to exist. I just want to understand, if you would, I just want to understand if the folks who are being targeted to be removed really had enough time to make an impact there.
Well, I think they will have a time to respond.
At the
next meeting.
At the formal meeting.
Okay. And also, I would like to address your question since you directed it to me. You have board members that have been on for two former mayors and also appointed from our last mayor. And the report that I sent to you all was an inspection that was done in 2017 of ongoing situations that's been going on for years. So like I said, clearly it's mismanagement. We should have people on the board that is going to manage the building correctly. Situations of mold and deterioration and holes from the roof trickling down is outgoing, horrible for the residents. They shouldn't have to live like that. I know you wouldn't want to live like that, would you?
No. I don't think you'd find disagreement with that point among anybody.
So I'm just answering your question. These board members were not appointed yesterday or January of 2017. Like I said, some board members have been on since Mayor Hombeck and also Mayor Hamilton, former mayor.
And I appreciate it. That's the kind of information that I think is good to know before we vote.
And you have the report that I also emailed to you. So if you did not receive it, let me know. It is the HUD inspection report that was done on 2017. as I read to you, very great.
I think between now and then, the people involved will be aware of this and want to come in at the next meeting and make their case if they have a case. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the only way we can do it. Since they, you know, they weren't made aware of it coming up tonight,
right.
But they'll certainly get a chance to speak to the council. Rich,
One more question: if it does pass, does the council itself have the power?
The mayor appoints. You know, we can do recommendations to the mayor, but the mayor can either take our recommendations or just go with his own.
So we're passing the recommendation.
Yes.
To remove it.
Yes.
Understood.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Just clarifying.
Is that all? Motion to adjourn? Oh.
Public comment.
Oh, wait, I didn't recognize you yet.
I don't know who I am.
Former Supervisor Thurston, would you like to speak?
Yes, please. I just need to ask a question. You say the mayor appoints 5 people. How many people are on the board?
It's a total of 7 people that make up the board. So the way it is made up will be the mayor appoints 5 members, and 2 of the members are voted through the residents of the building. So it would be 2 tenants and yeah. 5 board.
Thank you. Yeah. Are you asking to have them removed as well?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Supervisor Mussman.
Now, as long as I've been in Hudson, Bliss Towers has been an issue about repairs, the elevator not working. I mean, it seems that this is an ongoing problem, and where the responsibility and who's at fault lies, I think something needs to move forward and address the problems of Bliss Towers so that people have an opportunity to live in a healthy and positive environment. So would like to hear from the board and the people that are, you know, have been working on it and what's going on and how to fix it.
Yeah, like I said, this is an issue that I've been working on for the past 4 or 5 years, where different people that live in the building and currently still live in the building have given pictures, the videos that has been sent to Lisa Palugi in Buffalo, who is the overseer. Nothing has been done, you know. So we're looking for help anywhere that we can. The building needs help. The residents need a safe place to live. This has been going on for decades. This is, like I said, this is not something that happened overnight. And, you know, if you're never into the building, take a look. Go inside. It's a public building. They have public board meetings that are open to the public. Speak to the people that live there. You know, some people are afraid to speak up, and they'll tell you that they're fine. They'll tell you that they're fine because they're afraid of eviction. They're afraid to speak up. And some people are not, and they will let you into their apartment, and you can see their living conditions with their family and their children. And it's not right. It's not right. You know, this has been going on, like you said, for many years. For many years, some board members have been appointed since Mayor Hollenbeck. This has been going on since before that. But throughout all this time, the people are suffering. The building is deteriorating.
Thank you. Yes, can I identify yourself, please?
Yeah, I'm Alan Weaver. I'm the chair of the board of the Hudson Housing Authority. And actually, our new ED initiated, our new executive director,
thank you,
Tim Mattis, instituted a 6 program when he came on board 6 months ago. So there's been many changes made in the building within just the last 6 months. And we welcome anyone and everyone attending our board meetings. And I would just like to point out that many of the board members were appointed by Ms. Garrigo.
So, no, I don't have the authority to appoint.
I've got an email from you that says so.
Okay, read it.
Alan,
yes.
I got a question.
Yes.
Dominic, go ahead.
Is there a lease to all the tenants?
Yes.
Is there tenants' grievance?
Yes. anybody can, I mean, with building problems, they can put in a work order.
No, I'm asking, well, work orders, but they do work orders, but it's job done, done, job done. I'm saying, is there a legal recourse that the tenants have upon their lease if there's certain things aren't done? Can they sue remedy through a tenant agreement or
they can
until it gets to what gets done?
They
is there
contact
recourse legal?
HUD directly. We hear from HUD all the time. We've already heard back from HUD concerning this whole thing.
Can you explain some of the changes
come
that
on
took place the past 6 months that you just mentioned? Because, I mean, when I hear a safety rating of 14 out of 100, that...
Well, it's interesting that you...
And even, I saw the counter said 73.
Okay.
Which is still...
Let me explain what that is. Basically, when Tim came to the building, he said, when was the last time this building was inspected? And I've been on the board for 3 years, and the building has never been inspected. We had the same ED for 25 years. Nothing got done. We had an interim ED for 6 months. He came. He left. Tim joined us last September. He came to the board, said, we need to inspect the building. We hired the inspection group, as Ms. Riga stated. They did an entire, they inspected every unit in the building. We have a 47-page report. We have increased our staff to work on the building, and all of the health and safety issues from that report have been addressed and remedied. We have an ongoing plan to continue to improve the building, and we are currently working on a RAD conversion because we cannot go out and get borrow money against the building. We're not allowed to do that by HUD. All our financing comes from HUD. HUD finances our budget at 85% of what our budget is. So, you know, we are definitely working on the building in ways it hasn't been worked on in decades, as Tiffany said. And, you know, everyone is welcome to come and tour the building. We have many vacant apartments. We are currently in the process of taking some apartments offline so that they can be rehabbed, so that we can take tenants that are in apartments that are in bad shape for whatever reason, whether it's, you know, the tenant didn't let people in or they have leaks in their apartment. We're moving them into the rehab apartments so that we can get into their apartments and rehab them. You know, I mean, nobody's being removed from their apartment for anything other than lack of paying their rent. And
is that report available to tenants or to...
You know what? You're welcome to come and look at it if you want. I mean, it's you know, a lot of it is just, you know, no bars on the window, no plates on the outlets, no fire, you know, no battery in the smoke detector. But you're welcome to come and meet with Tim. I know that Dewan has been to meet with Tim along with Abdu and Bill Hughes last week. So, yes.
Sorry. She was first. I'll get to you. Could you identify yourself?
Very quick question.
Yes.
You mentioned that there has been neglect.
Yes.
Who are you, Mom?
My name is Heather Morris, and I'm here from Hillsdale this evening.
Okay.
I'm not representing any.
Oh, okay.
I'm a citizen of the county. And so with the neglect that you agree has been ongoing, who is going to hold those people responsible for acting negligently to the point where the residents' lives are threatened?
Well, here's basically what happened. When I came on board, we had a previous ED who kind of ran the building as his... he didn't take much direction from the board, let's put it. The board did not renew his contract, so he resigned. For 3 months, we were without an executive director, and we hired an executive director who actually worked at HUD Buffalo, who was with us for 6 months. He was with us for 4 months and then gave us notice. When he left, we fortunately hired Tim Mattis, who had been with the Gloversville Housing Authority. Also, back to that report, That report is something that we instigated on our own board under Tim's guidance. We hired the inspection group. They did a total building inspection, and they're the ones that said we got a 14 out of 100. That is not the HUD report. What matters to HUD is their report. The inspection group actually inspects based on REAC standards, which are HUD standards. So under HUD, from our last inspection report, we scored a 76 out of 100, or 73 out of 100, I forget. Mm-hmm. So that is something that the board and our new ED instigated to address the problems in the building.
So with the report that scored 14 or whatever it was, are you taking recommendations from that? Because
that's the report that had all the health and safety issues in it, which have been addressed, in every apartment. It's ongoing. The things that needed to be addressed in the building were not, for the last 25 years. And unfortunately, we're playing catch-up, so.
In a second, sir, Chef Tiffany was next.
I wanted to say, it's definitely needed when you have a tremendous amount of mold and leakage in your apartment. That is HUD standards to have to move you into what is available. But if you have what is going on in Bliss Towers, for example, with the plumbing and the roof damage where the water is trickling down, people are moving from apartments to apartments to apartments all the time, each year. You can ask the residents yourself. That's the problem. The building needs funding. That's one of the issues. And as we were just stated earlier, the executive director, Tim Matisse, just came in and directed the board. That is the issue. The board should be directing the executive director. That is the board. They are the management of the building. The executive director takes the recommendations from the board. I mean, this has been going on for years. The people need good living conditions. This is what's necessary.
Thank you. Shirsha, you want to
say
something?
Yeah, I was going to ask. You were mentioning you are in the board in 3 years?
Yes.
And 3 years, that building was not inspected, right?
It's inspected once a year by HUD. Our inspection last year was a 73. The year before that was an 85.
So I'm asking, in that 3 years, it was inspected?
By HUD, yes. By we get inspected once a year
so
by
what
HUD.
Was the report from the inspection?
From that, we basically get a grade out of 100. Last year was 73. The year before was 85. I forget what the year before that was.
So while people are complaining, they are mold and breaking stuff is not livable. I was been a couple of times in there too.
Yes.
In a couple of meetings.
Yes.
And what action you guys take for that?
Well, we're working on that right now. I mean, basically, we were without an ED for 3 months. We had an ED who quit after 4 months. This ED has been there for 6 months, and he's accomplished more in 6 months than anybody's accomplished in the two. It'll be 3 years in April that I've been on the board.
Wow, that.
And just to go back to what Tiffany said, this is true. We do need a new roof. I mean, the building is in severe need of attention, and it has gone for years without it. And we finally have a plan in place, and a board and an ED that are working hand in hand. Okay.
I think you probably understand why the council would like to finally have some say or some communication with what goes on at the HHA, because it hasn't previously. And we all are concerned about it. Bliss Towers has always been something we think about and worry about, but we've had no connection to be able to do anything. So this is just one small gesture, I think, for us to assert that we would like to see some things happen there.
I think you mentioned Bliss Towers in your run up to the presidency of the Common Council.
I did. Yeah, I did. Because with Tiffany, I've toured it a number of times, and it's just appalling.
Well, no one is in disagreement with Tiffany about the condition of the building. The remedy is what's taking a while. you know, I mean, and...
Well, I hope you'll come to our next meeting, because, you know, I'm sure it's going to come up again before we finally vote on the resolution.
I'll be here.
Thank you. Rich, I'll get to you.
Rich. What are the current length of terms for the board members?
The mayor appoints 5-year members.
5 members for...
Five members for 5 years.
For 5 years.
Okay. And the tenants elect 2 members for 2 years. Every 2 years we elect new tenant.
So are all the board members, is it staggered times?
Yes.
When?
Yes. Actually, Barbara Hall, who is a tenant commissioner, and myself have been on the board the longest. You know, everyone else, I believe Peggy's been there for about a year, and Anthony Castell has been there about a year.
Yes. Could you identify yourself and stand up, please?
Yeah. Lou Barnes, constituent president. Just a clarification. The next HHA board meeting.
Wednesday night at 6 o'clock in the community room. Please come.
Just wanted that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. So we'll see you then.
And thank you for Alan for coming and speaking up. And when you do come to the next meeting, you'll see that the lobby was done over.
Do I have a motion to adjourn? Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. One last comment.
I said one quick question for
sure.
Back in the agenda of the HCDPA agreement.
Yes.
Is that money that will be reimbursed after the from administrative fees from the
yes.
grant? It will be.
Oh, no. Sorry. It is not.
That's just an outright we're paying
that. We're paying that to administer the, it's I believe, a $500,000 grant?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. It won't be reimbursed. Well, I mean, it does have to be administered. I mean, you do need a project.
I was wondering if there was administrative.
No,
if
unfortunately,
it
didn't.
The ability to do stuff.
Now that I recall, at the HCDPA meeting, it was clear that they do not get any administrative reimbursement. Yes, Richard.
And can anyone set up a tour if they wanted to?
Yes,
how
actually,
do
yes.
Yeah.
You can contact Tim anytime.
Okay. Yes, young lady. Identify yourself, please.
My name is Sharon. I'm the Youth in Action for Operation Unite. I just wanted to invite all the aldermen and alderwomen to our Hudson Youth Government Day that we have on April 26th. Letters of invite will be sent out.
Thank you. Anything else? Motion to adjourn. Come on.
Motion.
Second. Rob, all in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
I think.